Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio, beaming to you from Australia. And today we're bringing to you a very special guest who is a leader in the vaccine awareness campaign, which of course is very much a global thing, where people all over the world have, you know, been speaking out, and there are many great alternative resources and many really great and principled people, including doctors and medical people, who've actually spoken out about vaccines and safety and some of the really deceptive practices that have been used by both governments and the large pharmaceutical organisations in terms of keeping the general public in the dark about the real issues of vaccines, the real dangers of vaccines, and even the efficacy of vaccines. So my guest today is Meryl Dorey, and she runs the Australian Vaccination Network, which you can find at avn.org.au. Meryl was actually on our show about 4 years ago now. It's amazing how time has gone by. Meryl, welcome back to Truth News Radio.
Thank you, Harold. I appreciate you having me here.
Yeah, well, it's great to introduce your work to a larger audience. And we've got listeners across the US. This show is syndicated through a number of radio stations. It's broadcast out of Austin, Texas, and it's picked up in Oklahoma City and a number of cities around the US, and many, many people who are passionate about health issues and, you know, the right of people to basically decide how they manage their health, you know, will be listening today. So, Meryl, I've been in the previous hour kind of running through some of the background to this story, some of the background to your, I guess, where you're coming from. And what I was just mentioning there in the previous hour is that we've been subjected to both propaganda of a deceptive nature in terms of the efficacy of not just vaccines, but a whole wide range of big pharma medical products. And we've also been subjected to a massive amount of propaganda and disinformation about the negative effects, adverse effects, side effects of so many drugs. And it's really important when you're trying to, I guess, make a decision about whether you want to take a drug and whether you want to have a vaccine, to understand and get to the basics of what we really do know. Because that's where it starts. And, you know, all the specific debates about individual drugs and individual vaccines are important. But I think it's always really good to actually start with the basics. And what I actually wanted to do in this show is run through with you your knowledge about the whole field of vaccines. And some of the key questions I want to address are, do vaccines work? Do any vaccines work? What is the overall state of our knowledge about the efficacy of vaccines? And then I want to actually have a look at what the potential risks and adverse effects of vaccines are generally across the board. Then I want to look at what the alternatives to vaccines are for people who want to stay healthy. What other things can you do apart from getting immunized to keep yourself healthy? So I would like to give you the floor, but let's just address and let's get right back to basics. I mean, a lot of people have the knowledge, and certainly the knowledge that I got from school. We were taught that that it all started back with Edward Jenner back in the 19th century and those experiments there with cowpox and the girl who milked the cows. And, you know, he did all this research and found out that the girl who milked the cows who got the cowpox didn't get the smallpox. And then he experimented and he found this sort of amazing technique of inoculating people, and that was then replicated. And then later on we had many, many different types of vaccines built on the same concept, and it is considered to be an established fact of science and medical history that this is incontrovertible fact, that this stuff works. I'll just give you the floor to address your views on that in whichever way you wish.
Thanks, Harold. Yes, I mean, I was raised very much believing that party line, that medical party line, that If you're vaccinated, you're immunized, and that means that you won't be susceptible to getting the disease, which is the whole reason that we vaccinate in the first place. And I was brought up to believe that vaccines are the reason that we don't see smallpox, which is the disease that Jenner was vaccinating against. And it was only when I started looking into this issue and started doing the actual research from the medical literature that I discovered that nothing could be further from the truth. As a matter of fact, some of the biggest and deadliest outbreaks of smallpox in Europe and in developing countries occurred immediately following large vaccination campaigns against the disease, and that the vaccine itself was causing outbreaks of smallpox. And only when it became legal to say no to the vaccine, because compulsory vaccination against smallpox was the fact in most European countries and many developing countries until the early part of the 20th century. Only when people were able to start refusing to take the vaccine and the vaccine rates started to go down did these countries actually see a precipitous decline in the incidence and deaths from smallpox. So the vaccination had nothing to do with it. Now, there are tests that are done on medical procedures called double-blind placebo-controlled trials, and these are considered to be the gold standard of any scientific investigation. And basically, to explain, it's where one group is given a therapy, whether it's a drug or a vaccine, and another group is given something that looks just like the therapy but isn't. And it has to be, by definition, a totally inert substance. In other words, something that will have no effect on the body, on the immune system, on whether or not you're going to be ill or well. So that's something like a saline solution or a sugar pill. And that is the way that any medication is supposed to be tested in order to prove that it works and is safe. And in over 200 years, I mean, we've been using vaccines since the late 1700s, so it's 235, 240 years since Jenner. In all that time, we can count the number of true placebo trials of any vaccine on the fingers of one hand. Always when vaccines are trialed, they are either tried against another vaccine instead of a placebo, or the components of the vaccination. So many vaccines will have many other components in there, heavy metals, preservatives, formaldehyde, tissue fixatives, all sorts of contaminating tissue from the animal that they were cultured on. So you will test a vaccine against another vaccine or a vaccine against something that's almost as toxic. And without that double-blind trial, we can't say anything about the safety of vaccines and very little about the effectiveness. And in the United States, in Australia, in the UK, which are the three countries that I'm most familiar with when it comes to these sorts of issues, if you look at the government statistics showing the deaths from these infectious diseases, from measles, from mumps, from whooping cough, you will see that before the vaccines were introduced and before the introduction of antibiotics, the death rates from all of these diseases had declined by 90% and more before the vaccine came in.
Right.
So we're looking at whether or not vaccines are effective by saying that vaccines have wiped out these diseases, but there's no evidence for that. And there's no evidence that the vaccines actually prevent you from getting the disease. And in the U.S. and in Australia right now, we're in the midst of a very long-standing outbreak of whooping cough. And almost everyone who gets whooping cough has been vaccinated against it. Government is a whooping cough vaccine won't stop you from getting whooping cough, but maybe, just maybe, it'll make it milder. So we're at a situation where there is such overwhelming evidence that vaccines are not preventing disease that the medical community and the governments have to say now that no, it may not prevent you from getting it, but maybe it'll give you a milder case of it.
Right. Yeah. And so, of course, The authorities tend to say, well, part of the problem is people aren't vaccinating, and you know that's you know, breaking the herd immunity. But as you say, most of the people getting it are already vaccinated, so that really kind of demolishes that point. But let's just sort of continue with this question about efficacy. So, and the number of vaccines, of course, that have been introduced over time, the vast majority of vaccines were not developed until after the Second World War. Would that be correct?
That's right. The DPT, diphtheria, tetanus, and whooping cough, was available before World War II. But prior to that, there was basically typhoid, and there was the smallpox vaccine. So there were very few vaccinations routinely given before World War II. But since World War II, we've had this huge explosion of the number of vaccines being given. Children in the United States right now are getting over 60 vaccines by the time they're 6 years of age. And that's up from maybe two or three vaccines when I was a child.
So that is a staggering number. Did you say 63?
60, just over 60.
Yeah.
In Australia, it's over 50, but Aboriginals and Torres Strait Islanders get more. So you know, we've had this enormous increase in the number of vaccines, and there is a doctor at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia by the name of Paul Offit, who has said that children can easily take up to 100,000 vaccines at one time without any ill effects. And he also owns the patent on a vaccine and sold that patent for, it's purported to be over $20 million. So he's got a little bit of a vested interest in making sure that vaccines are accepted. I don't believe that he should be taken as authority on this subject. But when it comes to vaccination efficacy, I'd like to recommend a book. It's only downloadable, but it costs under $10.
Sure.
And it's one of the most brilliant books on this subject of whether or not vaccines work. It's called Vaccine Illusion, and it's written by a Harvard-educated immunologist by the name of Tatiana, and I cannot pronounce her last name.
Sure.
It's a very long Russian name. But it's one of the best books on this subject. And what Tatiana explains so clearly is that all vaccines are meant to do, and the only way that we test them to find out whether they are effective, is whether or not they induce the production of antibodies in a person's bloodstream. So what they'll do is they'll vaccinate a group of people, and then they'll draw blood 3 weeks, 4 weeks down the track, and they'll say, yes, we have X number of antibodies to this disease in the person's bloodstream, and that means that that person is immune to the disease, therefore the vaccine has worked. And what has been known since the 1930s is that antibodies, whilst they are a part of the immune system, are not the most important part of the immune system. And even if you have high levels of antibodies, you can still get the disease because the other parts of the immune system have not been activated. So you are not immune, you are not protected, and therefore...
Meryl, we're just about to go to break. Thanks for that. I may actually get you to call back on the landline number. We're actually having a little micro dropouts as you're speaking. I'll give you that in the break. We're with Truth News Radio Australia. Please stay with us. Are you getting fed up with all the disinformation, deception, spin, propaganda, half-truths and downright lies in mainstream news? Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia, www.truthnews.com.au, and may the truth set you free.
No matter where you go in your life, at some point you're going to need somebody to stand by you. Just
moon is the only light we'll see.
Welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. My guest today is Merrill Dorey from the Australian Vaccination Network. We've transferred you to a phone line, Merrill. I think we'll get a better quality voice signal from you now. And I do have a guest calling as well on the line. I've got Logan from Texas, and we'll just get that call up. Logan from Texas, welcome to the show.
My question is pertaining to the efficacy for vaccinations, not necessarily if they are injected into the bloodstream, but if it's different when you have something, a vaccine that utilizes the mucous membrane, rather, if that would have any more significant of a, you know, impact.
That's an excellent question. The old vaccine that we used to use for polio, the oral polio vaccine, appeared to have a different sort of effect on the immune system because it did pass over the mucous membranes, and the nasal vaccine for influenza also appears to have a different effect. But again, the only part of the immune system that these vaccines are actually trying to activate or to bring into play is the antibody part of the immune system. So it's not a full-blown immune effect. But the only way to get true immunity to any disease is to contract it naturally and then to recover from it. So, yes, it is a different response that the immune system gives when you do something orally or past the immune system, through the mucous membrane, sorry. But it still is not a true activation of immunity, and that's why constant boosting is needed with more and more vaccines.
And I do have one more question, if I may.
Sure, go ahead.
It's pretty much, I mean, I'm happy to say that I've got both of my kids a waiver for their school, but I'm curious. But you would suggest, like, if there was an epidemic and, you know, people were clearly dying in large numbers, I guess what would be the driving factor to make, you know, make anyone think twice about, you know, whether that's really going to be a, you know, if that would be a good option at any point?
Okay, now I can't give medical advice. I'm not a health professional myself, but I have considered this issue for my own family, and I can only tell you this from my perspective. To my way of thinking, I haven't yet seen evidence that any vaccine can prevent you from contracting a disease. And even in epidemic situations, only about 5% of the population will contract the illness that's going around. There have been exceptions like the Black Plague. But you know, in general, only about 5% of the population will contract a disease. So the question isn't necessarily what will help me prevent myself from getting the disease, but why are other people not getting it? And from my research, the immune system is the main protector for all of these diseases. And if you keep your immune system healthy, you should be able to A, prevent yourself from getting the disease, and B, if you do get it, recover from it. So to my way of thinking, the best thing you can do for yourself and for your children is to make sure that their immune system is strong. And that's a whole range of options, which we'll probably be talking about later on, like nutrition and natural therapies, vitamin supplementation, that sort of thing. And that's what we've chosen to do with our family. We also use homeoprophylaxis. I used it only during an epidemic of whooping cough, but a lot of people use it all the time. And that's homeopathic remedies that are meant specifically to prevent the infection with disease. And that's an option for parents to use.
Fair enough. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Logan. Look, we've got another caller on the line, Merrill. Let's just take another call, and we'll probably move on with the rest of the questions I've got for you in the next segment. I've got Mike from Florida on the line. Mike, welcome to Truth News Radio.
Hi, how are you doing?
I am extremely well. It's great to have you on the line today. What sort of questions would you like to pose for Merrill, or what are you basically calling in about?
Well, on about where's the natural vaccinations? Well, why is there no natural vaccination being talked about? It's all these poisons that, you know, the government gives our children and our senior citizens and us, even the ones that are, you know, kind of suckered into getting vaccines and not knowing, you know, any better of what's in that. You know, I mean, if you go back in to our ancestors before there was vaccinations, before there was any of this, they used what Earth provided us.
Yeah, look, really excellent question. And what I might do is I'll just get Merrill to answer it briefly now because I actually want to go into it in more depth later on in the show. But Merrill, can you just respond to that briefly now?
Yes, well, the thing is that both in the United States and in every other developed country, information on natural preventatives is being suppressed simply because there is no money to be made by pharmaceutical companies in publicizing that. Natural products can't be patented or patented. Sorry, I've been in here so long I forgot how to pronounce things. They can't be patented, and therefore the drug companies can't make money off of them. But there are a huge range of natural ways to stay healthy and to maintain your health. And we are hoping, that's one of the things that the Australian Vaccination Network is very active in, and your American groups are also, is trying to push for open information, open access to all information so that you can make those decisions and know about them.
That sounds great. Mike, are you still there? I think we may have lost Mike. Are you there, Mike?
I'm here.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, any further questions there?
Yeah, I think, you know, she's dead on about, you know, there not being no money made. And the more they vaccinate people and get them to get these sicknesses and illnesses, then you have to spend more money, and you know, the circle goes on. But I think, you know, that the people, we need to know about natural things. We need to know that there is, you know, natural herbs out there that can boost our immune systems. You know, that can, and you know, it's going to take us to, you know, make that happen. But without knowing about it, it's never going to happen. And you know, I hate to say it, but I think, you know, a lot of people, it's inevitable.
I really strongly agree with what you're saying there, Mike. And in this country, we have a government and a kind of a cartel of interests that are working very, very relentlessly to make it difficult for people to get that information. And we'll be talking more about that later on in the show. Basically, the organizations that are set up to supposedly protect the consumer are being used to actually keep the consumer in the dark about alternatives. And Merrill, do I want to make a quick point on that?
Sure. What you're saying is absolutely right. The Food and Drug Administration in the U.S. is the group that's supposed to be protecting your health, making sure that foods are safe and drugs are safe. And yet they do absolutely nothing to do that. All they do is try and suppress information on the other side. And they are right now under a huge amount of pressure because there are people from the inside, whistleblowers, that are coming out of the Food and Drug Administration to talk about how they have been squashed, how they've not been allowed to give out information on the dangers of drugs and vaccines and food products. You know, the things that are approved as food in the U.S. and in Australia, too, that you wouldn't want to feed to your, you know, your farm animals, let alone to your children. It's just amazing. So the tide is turning, but it's going to take a lot of people getting very active and well-informed before we actually see these changes.
Great. We're about to go to break shortly. Thank you very much, Mike, for those calls. It's been great talking to you today.
Thank you. It was great talking to you guys.
Absolutely. Thanks. Merrill, in the next segment, I want to get into the questions about the adverse effects and the the reasons why we really should be concerned about vaccines beyond the question of efficacy. You made the really important point there that the whole case for efficacy is based on essentially antibody counts, which really doesn't prove that you're immunized. It only proves that you've got an antibody, but then we've shown that people can still get sick even though they've got the antibodies. So the next question we want to address is, you know, what are the risks? So you're with Truth News. Stay with us. We'll be right back after these ads.
She said she learned the hard way. Said she wanna spare the children. She said don't give a say your soul away, 'cause all that you have is your soul. So don't be tempted by the shiny apple. Don't you eat of a bit of fruit. Hunger only for a taste of justice. Hunger only for a world of truth. 'Cause all that you have is your soul.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. It is great to be with you today. I am talking to Meryl Dorey from the Australian Vaccination Network. Meryl, let's continue with the questions about the risks and adverse effects of vaccines.
Yes. Now, we're told many times that vaccines are perfectly safe, and one of the reasons why they're never tested against a placebo, as we talked about in the last segment, is that they are assumed to be safe and effective, and the government and the medical community then consider it to be unethical to test them for safety and effectiveness by leaving one group unprotected. So, you know, a lot of what we know about vaccinations, we don't actually know it's guesswork. There's a fantastic list of vaccine ingredients and their side effects. And if somebody wants to email me, I'm happy to send it. But what we know is that the individual ingredients of vaccinations are very toxic. They have a long history of toxicity, and the side effects that happen from vaccinations are very often related to the ingredients that are in the vaccines themselves. And these range from what most parents would know about, which is just swelling at the site and fever, which are not considered to be serious unless they go beyond a certain number of days for swelling or a certain temperature for fever, all the way through to permanent brain damage, death, sudden infant death syndrome, autism, ADD, ADHD. Probably, you know, most people would know that we're in the middle of an epidemic of autism right now. And 30 years ago, when our vaccination schedule only contained about 18 doses of vaccine by school age, one child in 20,000 was considered to be autistic. Today, that figure is one child in 20. So, you know, we've had an enormous increase in the rate of autism, and behavioral disorders are even higher. One American child in two now is being treated for a chronic condition, a chronic health condition. So they're on medicine every day for some sort of chronic condition, and that never used to happen. We don't even know what a healthy child is anymore, and vaccines can be related to a lot of those situations, as well as the overuse of antibiotics in our poor diet. And one child in six in the United States is learning disabled. You know, our kids are suffering from over-vaccination, from over-drugging, from so many other situations, and we're not doing anything about it. Our governments are saying there is no problem. Our medical community is just saying, let's write another prescription. And our kids are failing in school. They're failing at life. They are sick all the time, and it's a really sad situation. And vaccines have a lot to do with that. They're not the only cause, but they are a contributor. And this sort of information has been written about in medical journals, in peer-reviewed literature, and yet parents are not being made aware of this fact. And unless they actually do some research on their own, they're never going to know about it. And that's why the ABN says that as a parent, it's our responsibility to know what it is we are giving to our children, not only through what we feed them, which is extremely important. Our diet determines so much about our health, but about what sorts of treatments we give them when they're sick and how we keep them healthy. You know, if we were going out tomorrow to buy a new car, we would probably read articles in magazines. We would speak with our friends about what cars they were happy with. We would do test drives. We wouldn't lay down our money on the counter of that car yard until
absolutely.
We knew that we were buying the best car. But we don't do that sort of research when it comes to our health, and we should.
Yes, we should. And, of course, that should be upheld by the regulatory, I guess, systems that are set up should also be there to ensure that the market is free and fair. But unfortunately, the game appears to be fixed. So they're basically, they're in bed, the government is in bed with the manufacturers, the big pharma, and they're trying to limit our choices and they're trying to keep us in the dark about the dangers. And of course, one of the things that I think is a real problem with a universal healthcare system like what we have in Australia is that the government is then entering into these massive contracts that are monopoly, really, arrangements with the few big players who dominate the industry, and they decide what is best for us. And then you go to the doctor for your free medical care, but, well, A, it's not free. You are paying for it out of your taxes. But B, you're only getting what they decide you should have. I mean, I know it's a little bit off topic here, but what do you think about that, the framework of the way the society runs universal healthcare? We've got a real problem there, haven't we?
It's so corrupt. It's not even funny. In Australia, just like in the U.S., the government is trying to stop access to all natural therapies. And as a way of proving how even-handed the government is, they have appointed someone to study which natural therapies are approved in Australia and to say whether or not we can use them. And the person that they've chosen to study these natural therapies is the chief medical officer in Australia, a man who is a doctor and is medically trained and has absolutely no expertise in any natural therapy, and he is going to be the final arbiter as to whether or not we are able to use homeopathy, naturopathy, chiropractic care, all of these other natural therapies, many of which, like Ayurvedic medicine and Chinese herbal medicine, have been used for thousands of years, whereas mainstream medicine, maybe 100, 150 years, and yet because the government says that this is approved, even though they've never tested any of these things, we may lose our access to use these therapies, and it's crazy, and people are going to die as a result. In the U.S., Western medicine is the number one cause of death. So, you know, you are safer driving drunk than you are going into a hospital in the United States. Those are the official statistics. And yet we are doing nothing to control the out-of-control death rate that's occurring because of Western medicine, but we're trying to suppress and take away the rights of people to choose natural therapies, which have been proven over time to be safe and effective.
And we also suppress the research that is being done, even by highly qualified people, that would alert us to the dangers. And I just wanted to get your take on the Andrew Wakefield saga, because obviously that was one of the... Dr. Andrew Wakefield, of course, did a very important study into the MMR vaccine and its connection with autism. His reputation was completely destroyed by a series of very, very aggressive, very, very underhanded journalistic attacks, which then actually led to his being... his license being revoked by the General Medical Council in the UK, and yet the research he's done hasn't actually been refuted. I mean, can you just give your take on that, Meryl?
Yes. Yes, well, Andrew Wakefield's actually living in Austin, Texas now and still doing research and work out there, even though he no longer is licensed as a doctor. As he said, they can take his education away from him.
Indeed.
Wakefield published a case series. It's not really a research paper. It was a simple case series along with 12 other researchers And it was published in The Lancet, which is one of the top medical journals in the world, in 1998. And because it was such a controversial subject, they actually had twice the number of peer reviewers. Now, these are people who read an article to say that everything is fine and dandy before it goes to print. And they had twice the number of peer reviewers working on this article, and they published it because they said that it was true. And all he did was he say they said that they had these 12 children who came through his doctor's office. Now, he was a gastroenterologist. He worked on the gut. And he had these 12 children who he treated, and all 12 of them, their parents said that their children's gut problems and autism started after the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine. And at the end of the article, he said, I believe that we need to look at whether or not combining these three vaccines in one is causing this problem. He didn't say that it caused autism. He said that he felt there needed to be more research into it. But because anything that calls into question the safety or effectiveness of vaccinations must be stopped, he was stopped. And all of his researchers who worked with him were stopped. 10 of them recanted in order to keep their jobs. 3 of them lost their licenses. And one of those three, John Walker Smith, recently got his license reinstated by the High Court in the UK.
I'll just have to pause you there, Meryl. We're going to break. We'll continue with that very important topic there about Dr. Andrew Wakefield after the break. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. Really, really important interview. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Like they want us to be afraid, man. Or maybe we just like being afraid. Maybe we just so used to it at this point that it's just a part of us, part of our culture. Security alert on orange. It's been on orange since 01, G. I mean, what's up, man? Can a brother get yellow, man? Just for like 2 months or something? Goddamn. Sick of that. Mic check. The groove is thick, so I'ma rhyme like a lunatic. I do this shit with an unassuming wit. The corporation conjured up the bass and the tempo. My name is Liv, that's the intro, now let's go. The flow of life throwing strife into the mix, to the big dark condition.
Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. My name's Herwood Fenton, and I'm talking to Meryl Dorey, who runs the Australian Vaccination Network. If you'd like to call in and have a chat, you can call us on 1-300-153-372 in Australia, or 512-646-1984 in the US. Meryl, just finishing off the story there about Dr. Wakefield. Of course, his license to practice was revoked after Brian Deer wrote a series of horrendous articles about him in basically tabloid newspapers, and then that led to this inquiry by the General Medical Council. I think this chap Brian Deer certainly seems very suspect to me in terms of what his motivation is for doing this. And now Dr. Wakefield in Texas and currently trying to sue the General Medical Council.
Yes, he's taking a legal action against the British Medical Journal, which published the articles, the slanderous articles by Brian Deer. He's taking action against Brian Deer and the editor of the British Medical Journal, Fiona Godley. And those cases are going to be heard in Austin, Texas. And I really hope that he prevails. The interesting thing is that Andrew Wakefield is not at all the first person to link vaccination with autism. Now, autism was first described in the medical literature in the late 1930s, early 1940s, by someone named Kanner. But if you look back in medical journals, and I have medical journals going back to the year 1910, 1911, there was something called post-vaccinal encephalitis. And encephalitis is a brain condition, where doctors were describing conditions that looked and sounded just like autism, but there was no name for it at that time. And they were saying that vaccinations were causing it and that these conditions were occurring following vaccination. So,
okay, it looks like we've had a dropout here. We're having a few problems with the internet today. I do apologize to our listeners for that.
Okay, I'm not sure how much of that got ahead, but the The connection between vaccines and autism has predated Andrew Wakefield by a good 70 years, and since Wakefield published his first article in 1998, there have been dozens of articles published in medical journals saying that what he originally postulated, that the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine could be related to autism, is true. And in fact, all vaccines have been linked with autism in susceptible children. And there have been two court cases that are very public in the U.S. where children developed autism after vaccination, and the vaccine courts have granted compensation because they said that the vaccines caused the autism. And there's at least 80 more that have not been publicized where vaccines causing autism led to compensation. So there's no doubt that vaccines can cause autism. It's just a matter of whether or not the media or the government or the medical community will admit that openly.
Well, and let's hope that Dr. Wakefield is able to restore his reputation, because from everything that I've seen, I've watched a number of interviews with him, he seems like a person of integrity. He seems like a true whistleblower. And what we've seen, you know, again and again, is whistleblowers tend to be punished and persecuted in our society. And he's really suffered to an extreme degree. I mean, they've really destroyed this man, who appears to be someone who's just motivated by the real greater good. I mean, we hear this term, the greater good, bandied around and used in a completely dishonest way to basically sell us things. But this is a man who really is concerned about it. And he clearly had a lot of moral dilemmas in his mind about even doing what he did. I mean, we are reaching a point now, though, I think, where it is going to change. I think the tide is turning. And Merrill, we don't have much time left in the show. Let's just quickly run over the current controversies and problems you are having with the Australian government. Last week, I covered on the show the fact that the Therapeutic Goods Administration here is after you because you advocated the use of a herbal ointment for cancer. Now, maybe if you could just give a quick run through that and other topics that you're basically having trouble with in relation to the government.
Yes, now I never advocated the use of black salve. I have to correct you there. The Therapeutic Goods Administration came after me the first time because we sold a DVD on our website, and we've got a web shop with books and videos and DVDs in there, and one of them was called One Answer to Cancer, which discusses the use of black salve to treat cancer. And the Therapeutic Goods Administration forced us to take that down off of our website because they said that even talking about black salve was the same thing as advertising it, and black salve is banned in Australia, so we can't advertise it. And then Leon and I discussed this on the Australian radio program, Sarah Dingham Radio, and a second complaint was filed, again, saying because we had discussed this issue, we were advertising the use of black salve. And the program was discussing how our rights were being taken away because we can't discuss it. So, I mean,
incredible,
the
absolutely lying. Incredible. And the mere fact that you described, you know, an experience you had with this is now called advertising. I mean, that's just such a bending of the definition of the meaning of the word that it just boggles the mind. But do continue.
It is. I don't sell black salve. I don't make money off of it. I did use it, and it did cure a cancer that I had. But I'm not allowed to say that. And here I've said it again.
Oh, dear. Here we go again. You're only making it worse for yourself, Merrill. Look, I mean, I'm expecting an email any day now, too. I mean, you know, I talked about it. I said the forbidden word, you know. It reminds me of a Monty Python
company.
a scene from a Monty Python movie. But anyway, so the TGA wants to shut you down because of that. And what about the whole business of what you're doing with vaccines? What are they saying about that?
There's an organization that's worldwide, Skeptics, and they have a group in Australia, the Australian Skeptics. And the Australian Skeptics have set up an organization called Stop the ABN. And their job, their role and goal in life is to shut our organization down any way they can. And they have done everything from death threats through to absolutely abusive language. They've sent violent pornography to myself and other members. They've threatened our advertisers. They've done everything they possibly can. They've just taken out an ad on Facebook. I'm looking at it right now. It's to stop the Australian vaccination. There wasn't room for network, so it's kind of ironic. And it says, find out the truth about vaccination and the lies spread by Merrill Dorey and the AVN. So slander and defamation are nothing to these people. And they basically want to shut us down. And they've been trying very hard to do that for almost 3 years now.
Incredible. Incredible. We're just running to the end of the hour. Merrill, your website, of course, avn.org.au, an extremely useful resource. It's been really, really good to have you on today. I do apologize for the technical hitches we had today. I'd love to get you on again, and I'd like to go through maybe a series of interviews with you where we get into more of these details. And I think a lot of people are interested and will probably call in. So thanks a lot for your participation today.
That would be great, Eric. Anytime. That's wonderful. Thank you for that.
Absolutely. Thanks, Merrill. Well, that about wraps it up for Truth News for this week. We'll be back next week. See you then.